Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast with Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about economic collapse. Now, with the election of President Trump and his new nominees and stuff, I got to say, I feel a little bit better about the economy than maybe I did 6 months ago and the way we were heading there. I kind of feel like he might be picking people who can manage things a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. We'll see. The cards are on the table. But I also have to say that we have a huge national debt. Now, what are we at now?
$19.5 trillion.
$19.5 trillion.
Trillion, that's 12 zeros.
That's a lot of zeros. And our national debt is more than all the money in the world. Did you know that? All the real money? Like, and I don't mean American money. I mean, if you took every currency, everything, our national debt, you still couldn't pay it off. If you had every dollar from every person, every piggy bank, every, you know, everything, Swiss bank, whatever, doesn't matter. We still owe too much.
Yeah.
The weird thing with that is it's kind of all run by the Federal Reserve, you know, our money. It's run by the Federal Reserve, and we raise the debt limit and do all these things, and it's all backed by the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. Now, the Federal Reserve is a pretty slick scam where they actually have it set up that if they loan you, say, $1 million, you have to pay them back money principal with interest. Mm-hmm. So you have to pay them back like $1.1 million or whatever I said, million, trillion, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, right. So you have to pay them back 1.1. So technically, you can never pay them back because the money doesn't exist. Because you already owe them more than all the money in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a tough racket, tough nut to crack. Now, I guess some of the fears are we've had interest rates ridiculously low for a long time. I think we're pushing on, 8 years? Pretty much since Obama, they've been free-falling down. They went up, 2 years? They cracked a little bit, went up a little bit, and then last week they went up another, you know, quarter of a percent.
Right.
But, you know, as the interest rates start to go up, then the money that's all been in all these other countries is going to start to come back mm-hmm. back into the country, because right now it's bad to have it here. It's better to play against other currencies. When that money comes back, things start to get scary. Now, hopefully we have the right people in place, like I said, who can kind of manage things. But the way things are going, the way the stock market is, everything in history implies like we're bound for some kind of major correction.
Right.
And that's concerning. And, you know, it's kind of foolish to not think we should prepare mm-hmm. for something like that. So I have kind of a definition of what economic collapse is. And, the answer when I come up with this is, well, says who, you know?
Right.
Everybody has kind of their own interpretation. And I'm kind of afraid, you know, I found this one. And I'm afraid that maybe, like, because as you hear each thing, you're like, well, we have that. Our mm-hmm. country's doing that. We have those problems. But maybe somebody kind of came up with this definition to kind of match what's going on to make their point. You know, mm-hmm. I don't really know.
Right.
But what I got is the stages of economic downturns, there's several ranging from recession to depression to collapse. The complete collapse of a national or global economy is characterized by economic depression. Mm-hmm. We have that, right? Social unrest and widespread poverty. I feel like we have a bit of that. During an economic collapse, financial markets will be in total disarray, and the government attempts to intercede. Oh, all government attempts to intercede will fail. And the indicators include high bankruptcy rates, unemployment, a breakdown in free markets due to hyperinflation, and a sharp decline in the population. Mm. You know, following. Now, obviously you would say, well, you know, the stock market's higher than it's ever been. We're about to hit 20,000.
Right.
You know, yeah, that's true. So I don't know. I just remember we've been seeing a lot of people with bankruptcy, and now they're starting to slow down. Things are turning around.
Mm-hmm.
But based on what? You know, I mean,
right.
Yes, we're seeing it. I'm not denying that the bankruptcies are slowing around. Mm-hmm. But why are they turning around? You know, I don't feel like we've done anything to really make the changes for a correction.
Right.
And that's what concerns me. It just seems like kind of like a false lull that we're into, you know, that's just kind of making things better. You know, we used to be backed by the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have a finite amount of gold, so the government couldn't just endlessly
right.
print money, you know. So that was a big thing, and gold and silver, you know, you'd back it, it would be something real. People, we had, you know, the banknotes would be, you know, they'd say backed by gold or backed by silver,
right.
you know. And then we got off the gold standard, and then, then paper, they called it fiat currency, right? When the money is, you know, not really backed by anything. It's worthless, and honestly, whenever people seem to do that, it tends to build into a collapse. You know, mm-hmm. you have all these, you know, empires that have collapsed because they were printing and spending more than,
right.
you know, what they ever had. The Roman Empire, the Weimar Republic, you know, everybody thinks about, you know, you remember Germany was like crazy.
Right.
So like I was saying, in Germany, the Weimar Republic, basically, you know, law-abiding citizens started, you know, petty thievery. They said, you know, stealing copper pipes, brass fixtures, gasoline siphoned from cars at night. Like anything people could get their hands on, they were bartering and trading. Prostitution, both sexes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know who's paying guys for sex.
Guys, dude.
It's guys buying yeah. sex from guys, right?
Because
guys pay for sex.
Right.
So that had me a little concerned. I don't know. Zimbabwe. I don't even know. Now, check this out. Zimbabwe, from 1998 to 2008, they had the nation's independence in 1980. The exchange rate of the Zimbabwe dollar to the U.S. dollar was 1.25. Mm-hmm. All right, so not bad. In 1998, they had this new president. It was Robert Mugabe.
Mugabe, yes.
Oh, you know Mugabe.
Yep.
All right.
He was, Zimbabwe was the first country on the Arab Spring, right?
Yeah, Zimbabwe. This is 98, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, exactly. Same guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he, in 98, he consolidated power over the entire socialist government as part of his socialism reform. Now, here's where it's interesting. He forcibly took real estate from white settlers throughout the country and returned it to the native Zimbabwean people.
Zimbabweans, it says. All right.
The government, taking of income-producing private lands, this is the problem. All the white people came in, set up businesses all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They took the land, kicked the white people out, gave it back to the private citizens, but all of a sudden, they weren't producing anything.
Nobody knows
anymore
how to do anything.
So they're like, oh, shit. So basically, when they took it,
pretty standard for socialism.
It halted the production of food in the country, which was their leading export.
Mm-hmm.
The political and social unrest discouraged foreign investment in the country, and the central bank responded by printing more money with higher face values. They reached 2.2 million%. Eggs sold for $1 million Zimbabwe dollars. There was no medium of exchange. So the overall impact, they said, 1,000 to 1. Inflation was making it impossible for families to afford basic commodities they need, you know, for the day-to-day.
Mm.
And, I mean, that's just what happens. And the thing is, it's kind of overnight when it happens. You know, the Weimar Republic, it was instant, you know? They just, all of a sudden, your money's worthless. And I don't know that that's what's going to happen. But, you know, a depression like we had in 1929, that's, you know.
Yeah.
So
it just takes a couple of bad decisions and a couple of people to lose their head. You know?
And the thing is, you're like, all right, well, I have complete faith in Donald Trump. I'm speaking hypothetically. You're not speaking for me or you, right? I'm not speaking for us. I'm just saying this is like your imaginary world. So you have complete faith in Donald Trump. You have complete faith in this Secretary of the Treasury that he's picked out. You're like, all right, this guy's cool. Everything will work out. I don't need to worry. But you have to consider China, Russia are fucking with our currency intentionally.
Right.
They're actually trying to destroy the dollar. So it's not just what we do, but you need to prepare all around. There's other countries. It's actually
happening right now in Venezuela.
All right, so present day Venezuela.
Basically collapsing right now.
Well, they had toilet paper shortages from way back.
I think we all remember our good friend in the South, Hugo Chavez. That was training up all of Venezuela to fight against the impending American invasion.
Yep. Well, you got to get ready.
Well, he was a bit of a nut job.
All right.
But he died. And
he never had, like, the romantic stardom of Castro, you know? We didn't love him like we love Castro.
No.
But, all right,
but
go
we
on.
Don't have enough pictures of him actually shooting people in the head.
That's what
so
it is.
So there's a difference there, you know? All
right.
It's all about putting out your image, man, social media.
Yep. All right.
Create
a buzz.
Basically what happened was Nicolas Maduro, he's the president of Venezuela, he decided to correct the Venezuelan dollar and made it equal to the American dollar.
That's
so basically
smart.
It just became that the dollar was worth whatever he said it was.
Right.
And it just destabilized the whole government. So in August, the government began seizing guns and destroying them after the economy started tanking because of fear of quote-unquote crime. But the truth was, it was fear of him getting overthrown. So the economic collapse took place in what they call, what he was calling, what some Americans were calling the beacon of 21st century socialism.
Right.
That was all due to inflation. And right now, it's over 70% of the population is living in poverty. The president of Venezuela was fearing a civilian uprising because of shortages of food and medicine.
And toilet paper.
Medical supplies and toilet paper. The gangs, get this though, the gangs and the drug cartels had no problem getting guns because anybody that had a military-made weapon was happy to trade that for anything they could get. So all the military weapons are dumping back out into the drug and, crime syndicates there. Nobody has weapons to defend themselves. And, it looks like it's just gonna keep dropping until either the government or either the military or the population rises up and overthrows the government. They're saying that they need a petition. They have a vote.
Oh.
If they can have a petition that 20% of the population signs.
Okay.
Except nobody wants their name on that because they end up shot in the head.
I choose to work against the shot in the head.
So if you go to the doctor there.
Yes.
You have to bring your own food and your own medicine with
you. Nice.
They have doctors, but they don't have anything at the hospitals.
I heard that about Cuba, though. Cuba, you have to bring your own bed linens.
Yeah.
You have to bring your own meals.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear about your own medicine, so at least Cuba's ahead of that.
And one guy was talking about how they were doing surgeries, and the power just blacks out.
Ooh.
And they were doing surgeries, and they ended up having to close somebody up with a flashlight off of somebody's cell phone.
Nice.
That's not where you want to be, man.
No?
That's not where you want to be on that operating table when the lights go out.
All right.
So people are actually giving away their children there to keep them, the kids, from starving.
That's better than eating your children.
That is better than eating your children. Don't eat your children.
That's a no-no.
Yeah. I'm going to start putting up signs now just in preparation around the house. Kevin, don't forget. Don't eat the kids.
You might be really hungry.
It's rolling blackouts, roving gangs. You know, basically, if you don't have your own food and your own way to protect yourself there, you're in deep shit. You're looking at starving to death. Looking at your kids starving to death.
So, yeah. I mean, these are lessons we can learn from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they were talking about the big thing was, you know, negative interest rates.
Right.
You know, if you have your money in the bank and they're going to start penalizing you to encourage you to go spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people are like, oh, well, that's dumb. Why would I?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I?
I'll take my money
and put it under my mattress.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where governments are saying, wait a minute, you're just going to pull it out and put it in near your mattress. So countries like Australia are like, you know what, let's get rid of cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to keep your money in the bank.
Right.
Then it's the whole system
anyway.
Works.
Mm-hmm.
India, same thing. Let's get rid of cash. Then, you know, sucks to be you. Then we bring on the negative interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in a way, they want you to spend your money, and that seems like a pretty good motivator to me. But usually
if they're taking
that's
it anyway.
A last gasp, you know, of the government. That's not a, but that's definitely something they keep considering,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, I hope things are turning around here, and maybe these things won't be, but it's something to be aware of.
Right.
Things to watch for. So I guess, you know, the first half, we're kind of preparing you for these are the kind of things you see.
Mm-hmm.
It can really happen. It does happen. Stock markets crash.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen. There's reason to be paranoid.
Right.
Again,
just
as
because
always,
you're paranoid doesn't mean you're crazy.
As always, doesn't mean this is everything. We're not saying go and turn everything into gold and silver. And remember, you can't eat gold and silver.
Right.
If there's other people you can trade with that are maybe going outside the country, gold and silver might be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But in your local community, when you're starving to death, that gold coin doesn't really do a lot.
Right, right. So what are some ideas that we've got?
We'll get some
to
gold
get
and silver. That's
That's it?
That's what I got. No. Right. So, no, what I would say is, initially, I see you got a list there. You're good at your list.
Go ahead.
But initially, you basically want to have cash on hand. Mm-hmm. You really should have the bulk of your money in your safe at your house or hidden in various places throughout your house.
Mm-hmm. Just don't let your house burn down.
Don't let your house burn down. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's in your Liberty safe, right?
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So that kind of thing. The thing is, because this kind of thing happens overnight. The government doesn't tell you, hey, we're thinking about doing this. Mm-hmm. And then you have time to run to the bank and take your money out and whatever. Stock market crashes. They shut down banks and ATMs.
You're not even going to be able to get money out of
them. You know, you can run to the bank that day and maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Usually within an hour of things turning bad, You know, I saw it in It's a Wonderful Life.
That's right.
You know what's his name's paying 50 cents on the
Potter.
Dollar? Potter.
That son of a bitch.
That bastard. He's always trying to get you, you know?
He's always playing the angles.
Because the money's not here. It's mm-hmm. in your house. And it's in Jim's house.
Yeah, they don't have it at the bank.
It's not at the bank.
The numbers are there in the computer, but they don't have it all.
This has me crazy, too. All right, we'll go back to the how to prepare. All
right.
And then I'm going to lose what I'm thinking of, and it's going to piss me off. But anyway, so basically, my notes here talk about what I want to talk about. So like I said, you want to hold physical cash. You want to have various, you know, places that you've hidden your money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I keep it over at Kevin's house, and that way I don't have to worry about it.
Then you don't want to have to worry about your
house.
I don't
have to worry about nothing,
I'll be investing your money safely in a new Xbox.
A new Xbox? Nice. So the thing is, basically we're all working towards freedom. And why I say that, that's part of how you prepare. If you're really free, that means that if your boss is like, you know what, I got to let half my company go because people aren't buying widgets anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When you're self-reliant, when you're free, you don't have a problem. Freedom, when you don't have credit card debt, you're a lot more free than when you owe the man a lot of money.
Right.
And you know what? These are things that are going to help you prepare for an economic collapse.
Right. Paying off your car, paying off your house.
Is owning what you own, getting out of debt. Having surplus, maybe storing up some food. You know what? If you had a year's supply of food storage during the Great Depression, how much cooler are you than people waiting in the bread line and the soup line?
Right.
You know? Because obviously you can go out and work just as hard as they are, and you can have the scraps, and you can also have some more.
Right.
Or
you can invest your time in, working to make some money, chopping firewood or doing that sort of thing. You don't have to be waiting for food.
I was just going there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you need energy to go out and chop wood.
Right.
You got to be,
You need food.
You need food.
If you have to stand in line to get food, you're not out.
What I'm saying is some of the things you can do to prepare are cash on hand. You can have food storage, food supplies,
food on hand,
resources.
Right.
Any of the things we tell you to prep with, these are the things that are going to help you make it through it.
Right.
Getting out of debt, like we just said, is going to be huge. Car loans, your credit cards, your anything you can cut back. I'm not saying you need zero mortgage, whatever. You work towards it.
Right. Working towards it is really
work
the thing.
Towards it. You're always moving to
even
that
if you're
better
putting
place.
An extra $10 on your monthly mortgage payment, that's something.
That's something. But these are the things that are going to protect you.
It's a lot safer when nobody's going to come from the bank to turn you out of your house.
You know, in New York, we have the luxury of ridiculous property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't
really own your house here.
The county next to us, it's not uncommon for people to have $19,000 a year in property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? People who bought their houses 50 years ago, and were planning on retiring, never saw that coming.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that can wipe you out, you know? It's insane. Now you're like, well, if, you know, I don't know. I do know people who their taxes are higher than their mortgage payment, and that's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's all I can say. So, like I said, freedom is really the answer. Anything that you can see that will make you a little bit more free, a little bit more independent.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, independent from your job. I'm not saying don't. I'm not saying quit your job.
Right.
I'm saying make it so that you can walk away from it. Or maybe find a job that you can control if you're hired or fired. Right. You know, when you're your own boss. These things matter, you know. It's all about freedom.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got?
Well, some of the ways to get prepared for something like this.
Yes.
You know, are some basic guidelines. A lot of what we talked about already. Paying down your debt. Paying down your stuff. You know, building up a safety net of money. But also, you need to think about ways to cut back on what you're spending right now.
I like where you're going.
You know, if you can grow your own food, you know, that can be a huge benefit. Stocking up on medical supplies and vitamins. If you're ever short on food, you know that people don't generally die of starvation. They die of diseases that their body can't fight off. You know? So when you're really desperate, being well fed makes a big difference. Blankets and warm clothes, keeping warm. And
maybe you grow in the beard, keep your neck a little bit warmer.
I save all sorts of money on scarves. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I have
You don't buy razors? I mean, really.
And one of the other things that you can do, you see a lot in these countries with economic collapse and downturns in the economy is power outages and power shortages. The price of power going through the roof.
Okay.
So now, if you can find ways to be more energy efficient, you know, that's great. If you can get a solar generator, you know, solar power or a generator or, you know, any of those.
Or just cut back on the electric you're using. Learn how to live a little simpler lifestyle. Right.
That big screen TV sucks up a lot of electricity.
If you switch to the LED is the ticket. But one of the other things that our friends in Venezuela have taught us, if you're hungry, don't forget about the zoo.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Oh, yeah. They're cooking them up.
I bet zebra tastes delicious.
Delicious. So, you know, that's one more, you know, an ace in the hole. Mm-hmm. You can just whip that out.
All those feral cats feeling running hungry. Around.
There you go.
I bet they don't have a problem with the ASPCA coming down there and trying to get them to adopt animals.
Nope.
Sarah McLachlan is singing songs to deaf ears, man.
It's bad. So, anything else on there for that?
That's everything I got on the list here.
All right.
Now, just on top of that.
Yeah, more on this, but go on.
Yeah. Now, just one more thing on top of that is you have to be prepared to defend your family and your house.
Ooh.
You know? So, having a basic skill set with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, locking your doors and locking your windows. You know, that sort of thing is a big deal when you're
dealing with a lot of violent crime. So really everything we talk about on the Prepping Badass podcast. Yeah,
this is all a good...
So really, you guys need to be paying a little bit more attention. You need to go back, start at the beginning.
Uh-huh, and start thinking about a beard. Come on, let's be serious.
Grow in the facial hair. Yeah. Another thing quick on being prepared is learning barter skills that are going to be useful.
Sure.
Not, I say barter. Learning, like, butchering.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Different things that you can kind of use in a, like, off-the-grid economy when you think about it like that.
Because
that's where people are going when they don't have dollars.
Right.
They want to trade resources and things. Like Kevin said, if you guys can cut some firewood. Different things you can bring to the table, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Working with your hands, you're really going to, you know, be a lot better off than somebody who sells insurance, you know? But I'll tell you right now, selling insurance, probably killing it. Most of my customers who have a lot of money, they all sell freaking insurance, man. That's a racket. So you can buy the prepper supplies. You don't even need to worry about it if you're selling the insurance. But I'm just saying, you might not be working after the collapse.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. If you've already stockpiled, you're good. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
So, hey. All right. So, here's the last thing that I wanted to talk about. I probably should have mentioned it in the beginning, but you know me. I like to jump around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep you guys guessing. Keep you on your toes a little bit. So, what I got is, when a bank has, it's actually a percentage, not really a ratio, but when you go into the bank and you deposit $25,000 in your savings account, the bank can then loan it out, and the numbers vary. It's sometimes as much as 20 to 1 that they can loan out to mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
So by having the $25,000 in the bank, they can loan 20 people $25,000 each. So that means when putting money and paying off your mortgage and taking care of business, banks keep growing exponentially. That sounds awesome. You're like, oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's weird. You can check this out in your Google. That's really how it works. But like I said, it's a percentage. It's not necessarily 20 to 1. It's it varies on how much they have, how much. Sometimes it's 9 to 1. But either way, they can loan out your money many more times than what they actually have cash on hand.
Right.
So here's the problem, though. It sounds awesome when you're growing, but when you start declining, do you know what happens? When you don't pay back, the first guy doesn't pay back the $25,000, now that $25,000 is gone. They have to pay it to whoever you know they were accountable to.
Right.
They have to return the money. Now, all those other 25 mortgages aren't backed by anything. And they're not allowed to do that. So now they're not defaulting on one mortgage. They're defaulting on 9 to 20. And I didn't really put that second part together. And then I was reading about it and I'm like, whoa. You know, because I knew they could loan it out exponentially.
Right.
But once they lose that initial 25...
Mm-hmm.
Then all those mortgages based on that initial principal are now in default. And that's where, you know, it gets into risky business.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to realize things can escalate quickly.
Right.
That's, you know, I guess where I'm going with all
right.
this.
A lot,
you know,
of these, a lot of these recessions and depressions start off as minor things and just have a chain reaction.
Yeah.
You know, the stock market crash was not a big deal. Until the second, third, fourth, hundredth, thousandth person started to panic and trying to get rid of all their stuff.
And then it gets, you know, slippery slope.
Then the bank owns a bunch of crappy houses that nobody's interested in living in.
Right.
And no money.
And no money. And that's the other thing. I mean, you know, if you listen to, like, Rich Dad and these guys, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, he always talked about that, you know, he seems to think that economic collapse, you know, big depression is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, right now, you don't want to hold any real estate, anything.
Right.
Which that's
cash.
Opposite of what he's been preaching all
sell
along, you know,
right
early
now.
On. He's like, you need to hold as much cash and gold as you can. And then when this happens, you want to be ready to pounce.
Right.
And that's another way to prepare. But again, it depends on the type of economic collapse.
Right.
You know, if we have ridiculous inflation, having $1 million in cash
doesn't mean much.
Doesn't do any good when $1 million
buys
you a loaf of bread.
You can buy a lot of, you know, a lot of the, a good thing to invest your money in is capital.
Okay.
You know, a work truck, a log splitter, you know,
things that are of value.
Cement roller, dump truck, that sort of stuff.
But you got to think about the materials that you're buying. They got to be useful when people are short on money.
Right, right. But, you know, you see those big farms. You know, if you're in a country where you're having serious problems.
Okay.
The best place to be is living on the farm.
They always say, you know, in the southern farms, they didn't know the depression happened, right?
Right.
Isn't that the way they always talk? They're like, what? We didn't know. We were always poor. Didn't change.
Right. But, I mean, at least you're still eating.
You're still eating.
Mm-hmm.
No, not bad. What else? What do you got this week? That about wraps up what we got for economic collapse. You got anything?
No. Anything you want to add? We got an email. A couple emails
from one of our listeners,
that was wanting us to do a show on medical kits.
Medical kits.
First aid
kits. I believe
kits.
There were some compliments on the character episode.
Oh yeah, a lot of people.
I think
like
I'll take
that.
Some credit.
Yeah, you can take
on
the credit
one.
For that. Nicely done.
Right. Medical kits.
Medical kits. So I was thinking maybe next week or the week after we can do
week
an episode
after
on that.
Probably, but yeah.
All right. But in the news, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot. I've been trying to stay away from it lately, honestly.
Yeah, you're smart.
It's a little.
You got this chaos in Germany.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about that? Now, here's my thought. All right, you got this guy. They say, oh, he was like a mastermind and he planned it out. This guy really knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And he leaves his wallet and his fingerprints in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem odd to anybody.
No, well, they caught the wrong guy first, right?
Well, yeah. So they caught a guy who eyewitnesses said, we saw him, that's the guy.
Mm-hmm. And then they let him go?
And then they let him go, and they're like, yeah, but he didn't have bloody clothes. And we think if
wallet.
He had beat up this guy, and we have other evidence.
Uh-huh.
And then 2 days later, oh, we found this wallet and this other guy's fingerprints. And I'm wondering if this guy just cut the other guy's finger off, smeared some fingerprints around in the truck, and was like, here's his wallet. They'll fall for that easy.
Yep, they're gonna
and then when they
that.
Caught him, and they're like, we have 20 people who saw you do it. And he was like, yeah, but... why is that terrorist wallet in the truck?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, we didn't think of that. You might have a point. I think we're going to let you go. And this guy's like, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's some fucked up shit, though. I don't understand what the hell goes through somebody's
head. You know,
really,
the thing is that always shocks me is if you really want to kill somebody, it's not that difficult.
No.
You know, if you have that sort of mindset and killing somebody is your...
apparently he was able to
your
do
interest.
It.
But, you know, it's shocking, honestly, that this doesn't happen thousands of times a day.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's kind of a reinforcement of what most people think about.
Yeah.
Most of us aren't crazy assholes that want to kill everybody.
Psychos.
There's only a few of them out there.
All right.
But, you know, it's safe to prepare for that asshole because you never know when you're going to run into them.
So you're saying that we should situational awareness, pay attention... maybe go back,
mm-hmm.
episode, whatever number that was. And,
yeah, check it out.
All right.
Check it out. But, all right, so...
so prepare.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Get prepped, man.
All right, and check us out at preppingbadass.com. Follow us on Facebook. Maybe throw us a buck on the Patreon. And any questions, concerns, comments, directions you think the show should be heading?
Mm-hmm.
Shoot us an email at preppingbadass@gmail.com. And keep an eye out for our YouTube channel. Maybe new things are coming. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, stay safe.
Merry Christmas. Peace
Merry
on earth
Christmas.
And all that good stuff.
See, we're not afraid to say Merry Christmas on the Prepping Badass podcast.
Yeah, I was actually surprised.
That's how
I ran into a guy the other day that I didn't really know. And I talked to him for a few minutes and he said Merry Christmas.
And
you
were like,
wow. Ooh. That's a ballsy man right there.
A ballsy man.
He didn't know I celebrate Kwanzaa.
No, he had nothing. So he was bringing it. So that's what we got. Stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.
4 in the morning, Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up
in the sky. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.